This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
Brown University's plans to expand its School of Engineering is now public. The university plans to keep engineering on College Hill. Now, to talk about that, our guest is Russell Carey, Brown University Executive Vice President for Planning and Policy. Russell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave, for having me.
So engineering is going to stay on College Hill.
That's correct. So the announcement we made this week was just wonderful philanthropic support for our School of Engineering. We announced gifts of $44 million, which are going to enable us to support faculty and student research and teaching. And part of their fulfilling their mission in teaching and research is having good facilities. And so our overall goals for the School of Engineering are to continue to grow and expand, and we need space in order to do that. And we also need to take care of the facilities that we currently have. Our planning process this year has been all about where are the best places for that activity to take place. We have a significant amount of engineering activity taking place on College Hill in the core of our academic campus already. And we certainly had to think about, is the best place for new space adjacent to those existing facilities or in some other location? And we engaged in an intensive data-driven planning process over the last 6 months to help us make that decision.
Give us a sense of where the School of Engineering is and where it will expand on the east side.
So the School of Engineering is focused primarily in our Barris and Holly building, which is along Hope Street, between Hope Street and Brook, and Waterman and George Streets. It's the near other physical science buildings and facilities, the computer science, applied math, physics, chemistry. And one of the things that was very clear in our data gathering was how important that faculty collaboration is with those other departments. We asked faculty throughout the university, not just in engineering, to give us a sense of how important their academic collaborations are and where do they give the most priority. Engineering is right in the center of many academic departments in terms of collaborations, interdisciplinary research, team teaching, thinking about solving problems together. A lot of the activity that our engineers are involved in is about making society better, and they work with other disciplines in order to do that. That physical location is very important, their ability to collaborate with each other in proximate location. We also look very carefully at how our students are behaving in terms of the courses they take, not just in engineering, but across the curriculum. One of the things that's really distinctive about Brown is the ability of students to take courses in any area, because we don't have core distribution requirements. Right from the beginning, students are choosing the courses that they want to take. Their physical location matters because their ability to take those courses in the course schedule, where they are in relation to each other, has an impact. We looked at the interconnectedness at all 4 years of our undergraduate program, how students were taking courses across the curriculum, and wanted to be very certain that our decisions about facilities didn't interfere with that or damage the way students are able to use the Brown curriculum today.
Now, one thing that you said was, in addition to upgrading facilities, building new facilities, you wanted to expand the faculty, you wanted to expand the number of graduate students, you also wanted to really create a formal entrepreneurship center at the school as well. Explain how the School of Engineering has been reaching out more to the, you know, to the outside world.
Correct. So all those things are priorities. And the School of Engineering has a long history at Brown. It was a division of engineering for well over 150 years, became a School of Engineering in 2010. And part of the commitment to making it a school was expansion of both the size of the faculty, the graduate programs, and its engagement with many parts of the Rhode Island province community and nationally, internationally. A significant amount of student interest and faculty interest is around entrepreneurship. Everything from translating engineering ideas to products to things that people will use in medical fields and improving people's lives to entrepreneurial businesses, including some of the people who are part of these gifts supporting the School of Engineering. They are engineers, but much of their career track and path has been about entrepreneurship. And we have a master's program in entrepreneurship and plans and opportunities to continue to expand in that area as well. Connects very closely with things that are happening in the province and Rhode Island economy, and will contribute, we think, has already and will continue to contribute directly to the growth of economic development in this area.
Will that play into the increased effort by the university to transfer technology that's created through research?
It's very closely connected. It's not exactly the same thing. Entrepreneurship can take many forms, from undergraduate students starting businesses to faculty engaged in entrepreneurial activity. But there's also a significant investment, not just in engineering, but in the university generally, with regard to technology transfer and really sort of facilitating the connections from the laboratory and the library to business and corporate activity.
Now, the University School of Medicine, the Alpert School of Medicine, is in the Jewelry District, and you're not going there with engineering. What's the difference? You, at first glance, you would think there would be a similarity.
So what the real difference is curricular and student activity. So engineering is an undergraduate and a graduate program. So students in their undergraduate college careers are concentrating in different tracks of engineering, master's and PhD students. But among all those students, but particularly undergraduates, because of the open curriculum, students are also taking courses in lots of other places: English, comparative literature, political science, anthropology, across the curriculum. And that's, for us, very important and invaluable about an engineering education at Brown, is this opportunity to be liberally educated across the curriculum. Medical education is a professional school. Students are engaged in becoming medical doctors. Their activity takes place largely their curricular activity takes place within the medical education building, which is one of the finest facilities in the country for medical education. It's perfectly situated in the Jewelry District. We love the building that we're in and the neighborhood that we're in. But the students who go there, particularly in their first and second years, spend most of their time there. Their lectures take place there, case study takes place there, anatomy takes place there. In their third and fourth years, they're in clinical rotations in the hospitals, our affiliated teaching hospitals, and they're spending much of their time in those locations. It doesn't have the same intrinsic connections to the undergraduate curriculum and frequent connectivity in terms of students going back and forth to different departments and different disciplines.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Russell Carey, Brown University Executive Vice President for Planning and Policy.
Is it the School of Public Health? It's not at the medical school, and it's not up on College Hill. Why is that sort of halfway in between?
Right. So it will be the School of Public Health July 1st. It's been a program in public health, and the folks in the leadership in public health have been working for several years, and the Corporation of Brown University approved at their February meeting to establish a School of Public Health starting in July. They have been at 121 South Main Street, perhaps better known as the location where Hemingway's is, for a number of years, and it's been a very good location for them. They are sort of in the middle. They have undergraduate activity and graduate programs. So they're undergraduate students who are concentrating in areas of public health. There are graduate students in master's programs and advanced graduate students doing work in public health, and their location has worked very well for them. Now, of course, there's sometimes also finding locations that are available. When that building became available and we had programmatic needs for public health, which previously had been dispersed in seven or eight different spaces, that worked very well for them. But I think symbolically it's really a bridge between what we're doing in College Hill and what we're thinking about, what we currently are doing, and what we have aspirations to continue to do in the Jewelry District. And it's not necessarily that these two areas have to be distinct. They're not that far apart. But we do have to be very careful and driven by our data about what will work best academically in which location.
So what do you think will work best in the Jewelry District in addition to the medical school?
So many of the types of things that we already have. So over the last 10 years, we've invested $200 million in the Jewelry District in terms of acquisition and renovation of facilities, which has created a significant number of construction jobs over the last decade and permanent jobs with new activity in those locations. Three academic programs, this Alpert Medical School, a research institute, our laboratories for molecular medicine, our continuing education, executive education, which engages a lot of both community and people from around the world. We've also have a significant presence of administrative activities, things that are vital to our academic mission, but don't necessarily have to be on College Hill. Our advancement and fundraising staff, for example, our computing and information services staff. Some mix of those types of things, administration, professional schools, research institutes, things that laboratories are a great example. There are lots of students who go to our laboratories for molecular medicine, but they'll go there at the end of the day and they'll spend 3 or 4 hours there, or they'll be there late into the evening early into the early morning hours and not necessarily having to race back for a class and then get back to another activity. So those types of things we think have worked very well in the Jewelry District. Great opportunities for collaboration with our partners in affiliated teaching hospitals, Johnson & Wales, other institutions, and we think there's opportunity for more in the future.
Okay, Brown University expanding its School of Engineering and staying on College Hill to do that. Our guest has been Brown University Executive Vice President for Planning and Policy, Russell Carey. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, and this has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.